bad news comes in threes for airshow performers. A C-130 wins a mid-air collision with a shadow UAV. And Boeing's big new freighter gets its papers. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 22, 2011. It's been a terrible weekend for airshow performers worldwide. At yesterday's Selfridge Air National Guard Base northeast of Detroit, Wing Walker Todd Green was attempting an in-flight transfer from a biplane to Otto the helicopter when something went wrong and he fell 200 feet to the ground. He was rushed by ambulance to Mount Clemens Regional Medical Center, where hospital spokeswoman Diane Kish reports Green died from his injuries. Todd Green was the son of legendary wing walker Eddie the Grip Green. On Saturday, an RAF Red Arrows aircraft went down at the Bournemouth Air Festival in the UK. The 9-ship military formation aerobatic team was concluding a public demonstration flight when one aircraft apparently separated from the formation and hit the ground close to the Stour River. UK media reports that 33-year-old Flight Lieutenant John Egging is believed to have died after attempting an ejection following some sort of systems failure. Egging was a resident of Rutland Links and was reportedly the first Red Arrows pilot lost in such an accident in 33 years. Current information suggests the accident occurred after Egging separated from the rest of the formation and appears to have flown low but under control toward an open field, leading to early theories of a power failure. The Red Arrows have been flying as a military formation team since 1965 and have logged over 43,000 public demonstrations. Later Saturday, a highly modified Pitts Model 12 biplane went down in what's said to be the first airshow accident for the annual Kansas City Aviation Expo airshow, based at the Wheeler Downtown Airport. Initial reports suggest the pilot, Brian Jensen, failed to recover from a maneuver described by various local media sources as a spin or descending spiral and hit the ground in a grass field away from spectators. The show was closed for the rest of the day Saturday. The International Council of Air Shows has commented regarding the tragic weekend events, noting there have been 4 fatalities among performers in 2011, but none the prior 2 years and one in 2008. Quote, "The spike in accidents this year is very likely an anomaly, and a broader view of accidents during the last several years confirms this," unquote. But ICAS goes on to note, quote, "Most importantly, there has not been a spectator fatality at a North American air show involving aircraft since 1952. People, and especially reporters, sometimes report on fatal accidents and don't mention this fact. It is critical that, as an industry, we do what we can to distinguish between the risk willingly and knowingly assumed by performers and the spotless safety record that our industry has with spectators," unquote. The U.S. Air Force says a C-130 collided with an RQ-7 Shadow UAV operating in eastern Afghanistan, forcing the cargo plane to make an emergency landing. Nobody on board the C-130 was injured. The collision was confirmed by Air Force Captain Justin Brockhoff. USA Today cites military officials in reporting the UAV was flying a surveillance mission and was unarmed. Brockhoff said there were also no injuries reported on the ground. The C-130 is attached to the 914th Airlift Wing based in Niagara Falls, New York. The MQ-9 Shadow UAS is normally operated by either the Army or the Marine Corps. The incident remains under investigation. Boeing says it has received FAA and EASA certification for the new 747-8 freighter, passing 2 of the final landmarks on the plane's journey to entry into service. The FAA granted Boeing an amended type certificate and an amended production certificate for the freighter, while EASA also granted the company an amended TC. With these certificates, the program's in the final stages of preparing to deliver the first 747-8 freighter to launch customer Cargolux in early September. The 747-8 freighter is the new high-capacity 747 that promises cargo operators the lowest operating costs and best economics of any freighter, while providing enhanced environmental performance. Up next on ANN, the Teamsters leave the door open to JetBlue pilots. Business aviation chips in to keep bar. And how do they take away your shampoo but not your beehive? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. The Teamsters Union is telling JetBlue pilots their vote to stay non-union is understandable, given their airline's unique culture, but that the door is always open. A statement issued by Teamsters Airline Division Director David Bourne says, in part, quote, "We understand that JetBlue has an individual culture in this industry. The preservation of that culture is paramount to ensuring the success of JetBlue in the future. The Teamsters Airline Division extends its support as the JetBlue pilots move forward," unquote. Bourne noted one possibility would be a unique JetBlue local council to run independently within the Teamsters Airline Division. Quote, "We stand ready to assist in whatever way we can. Together, airline labor will succeed," unquote. The FAA has issued a new rule to enhance aviation safety by requiring scheduled airlines to install ice detection equipment in their existing fleets or to update their flight manuals to make sure crews know when they should activate their ice protection systems. The new rule was published Friday and mandates that for aircraft equipped with an ice detection system, that system must either automatically turn on the ice protection or alert pilots to manually activate it. For aircraft without ice detection equipment, the crew must act based on instructions in their flight manual during climb and descent and at the first sign of icing when at cruising altitude. The rule affects only in-service aircraft under 60,000 pounds because studies have shown these smaller planes are more affected by undetected icing or late activation of the protection system. Larger commercial aircraft already have ice detection equipment. NBAA President and CEO Ed Boland said Friday he appreciates a recent surge of contributions from a host of regional business aviation associations to a legal defense fund established to support a court fight to preserve the Block Aircraft Registration Request Program. The fund was created by NBAA and AOPA. For more than a decade, the program has allowed owners and operators the ability to opt out of having their aviation movements broadcast over the Internet. Earlier this year, government officials announced that on August 2nd, severe limits would be placed on the program. The Kansas City Business Aviation Association was the first regional group to contribute to the fund and has been followed by donations from the Colorado Aviation Business Association treasurer and former acting chair Ivor Retram, who donated on behalf of his organization. Business aviation groups in Georgia, Southern California, Missouri, Arizona, Wisconsin, and Connecticut, and the Teterboro Users Group have all followed suit. The battle has spilled over from the courts into Congress. The House passed legislation preserving the BAR program as part of its version of a reauthorization package for the FAA, but then the Senate didn't pass it. A standalone bill preserving BAR is pending in the Senate. An argument over airplane parts in Edgewater, Florida, ended with one man arrested on charges of attempted murder. 38-year-old Jose Luis Leyva reportedly got into an argument over the phone with Remy Collin over some parts missing from one of three aircraft owned by Collin. The Daytona Beach News Journal reports that according to the arrest report, the two then drove to Massey Air Park in Edgewater, where the planes were hangared. Collin told police that when he arrived, Leyva had a wrench in his hand and was acting crazy. Collin said he approached Leyva thinking he could be reasoned with when Leyva pulled the gun, pointed it at Collin, and threatened to kill him. Police say one shot was fired, and then Leyva swung the wrench at Collin, who said he was uninjured only because he moved. Collin owns Flight Training Express based at Massey Air Park. Leyva was charged with attempted murder and aggravated battery. Jail records show he was released after posting $27,500 bail. NASA wants us to know that, contrary to some rumors, the comet Elenin, the latest to visit our inner solar system, is no threat to the planet Earth. Elenin will pass within about 22 million miles of us during its closest approach on August 16th. NASA says there have been incorrect speculations on the Internet that alignments of the comet with other celestial bodies would cause consequences for Earth, and external forces could cause the comet Elenin to come closer. Don Yeomans, a scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, adds, quote, Comet Elenin will not only be far away, it is also on the small side for comets. You've got a modest-sized icy dirt ball that will have an immeasurably minuscule influence on our planet. By comparison, my subcompact automobile exerts a greater influence on the ocean's tides than Comet Elenin ever will, unquote. It's not clear yet whether the comet will be visible to the naked eye when it's at its closest point to the Earth. In a case of badly mistaken identity, a Salina, Kansas man was misidentified by the Kansas Highway Patrol as being the pilot of an ultralight involved in an accident, saying he was transported to a Wichita hospital in critical condition. Fred Leeper says he had been out of town dealing with a family emergency and was quite surprised when he walked into his church on August 7th and had people express happiness and relief he was still alive. His daughter looked it up online and told him, "Dad, you were in a plane crash." Fred Leeper says he wants everyone to know he's just fine. The actual pilot, according to the Salina Journal, was 43-year-old Miles Frederick Leeper of Douglas, Kansas. The accident occurred August 6th in Butler County. Kansas Highway Patrol Trooper Gary Warner told the paper the mix-up was caused by two incorrect keystrokes on a computer. Quote, "I certainly apologize if we caused Mr. Leeper's any distress," unquote. And finally today, a Russian airport official used his position to smuggle a beehive aboard a commercial flight at the airport in the Blagoveshchensk province and stowed it in a coat locker in business class. Mid-flight, the bees escaped from the locker, and as you might imagine, other passengers were not amused. AFP News reports that carrying insects on board an aircraft is prohibited by Russian aviation rules, but the airport's deputy director, Anatoly Smimov, reportedly skipped security with his contraband. Some of the passengers sitting in business class for the May 28th flight were officials from Moscow. A spokesperson for Yakutia Airline told AFP that one of the flight attendants managed to tape up the closet where the bees were stashed, preventing more from escaping. Officials say a letter of warning has been sent to the airport management. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in a Best of Bob, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us why, at his flight school, practice areas are avoided as a matter of policy. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.